This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's March 14th, 2018. Yes, we're very close to the Ides of March. Very, very close. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, Fran Storch.
Hi.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can call or text us right now at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. You can also visit Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you'd like to contribute to the show or be a guest on the show, please contact me at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. Beginning with Ron's rant of the week. Okay. This is one that I repeat over and over again because, especially this time of year, we're running into a problem with, we have snow here, folks. You know, we got anywhere from 6 to 24 inches in the last couple of days because we had a big storm. So the roads are pretty narrow at the moment. So if there's anyone who's courageous enough to be out there riding their bicycle, the roads are a little bit smaller than they used to be. And so I'm gonna rant a little on responsible vehicle purchases. If you're purchasing a motorized vehicle, do you really need that large motorized vehicle? How difficult is it for you to pass and navigate with that TLV around a pedestrian or a cyclist on the road? For those of you who know me, a TLV is a truck-like vehicle, which we have more than 50% of them now in the state of Connecticut because people like them over cars of practical and normal size. Anyway, just think about it. If you are looking to buy a motorized vehicle in your near future, think about the fact that, you know, we do need to share the road. Cyclists are vehicles too. We would love to have you afford that little extra room so that you can get around us safely and we can be not in your way or however you want to look at that. So let's think about responsible vehicle purchases in the future. And if you want to discuss this long anymore, you can discuss this on my Facebook page, which is Bicycle Talk. And you can also send me a Gmail at an email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. On a positive side, well, I got to mention it because it's a big day here in the United States. And that is, I'm going to say, on the positive side, the growing voice of youth in our country. This is a really big day because there is, we have had some discussion in the past about, let's say, gun manufacturers and suppliers that are involved in the bicycle industry. And so we have passed on that, but there is a big movement here today. And there were 17 minutes out of the day, started at 10 o'clock this morning, for the 17 people that died in Florida in the shooting. And it's by the voice of our youth in the country. I love the youth in our country. I love the fact that they're feeling that this is an important issue to discuss. I'll move from that one. If you want to discuss it more, you can contact me on Facebook or at Bicycle Talk numeral one at gmail.com. The maintenance minute. Okay. Normally we talk about the bicycle here, but sometimes we talk about some other things too. So I'm going to bring up coffee, caffeine, and cycling. That's a positive thing to talk about because those of us who are, I just can't get out of the house in the morning without my cup of coffee. I love my cup of coffee. And I also love, I love what it does for me when I ride my bike. And there's some myths that you need to kind of go over here. I'm going to do it really quickly because I have guests here, which will tell us even more. But caffeine, it will not dehydrate you, okay? It won't lead you to more bathroom breaks during the bike and or create a greater risk of dehydration. So it's something that is kind of a myth. It does affect everyone differently, depending on, you know, how you are affected. If you give Fran coffee, it's like entertainment plus. It's really like a very, very interesting thing. You give me coffee, I'm just on my normal buzz for the day. But boy, you give Fran coffee and it's just pure entertainment. You can develop a tolerance. Your body will eventually adapt to the effects of caffeine, limiting your performance benefit. Thing to know. timing is everything. Take 60 minutes for caffeine to start affecting the body. So imbibe 1 hour before a ride. For rides lasting 2 hours or more, take half of your caffeine before and the other half divided amounts during your ride. I like to make a little iced coffee and put it in my water bottle. That's kind of a nice thing, too. And okay, training trumps it. While caffeine can boost performance by 3 to 5%, training can bring about improvements upwards of 50%. So, but boy, it just feels good. Why am I bringing all this up? I'll tell you why I'm bringing this up, because I have guests today. I have some guests on the air with me today. Michael Ferraro, otherwise known as Mick, and also Joseph Dickerson, which Joseph has been here before from BC Co.
Yep.
And Michael is here with, we're going to talk about coffee. We're going to talk about the Victus brand of coffee, which he is connected to. And but first of all, because Joseph has already been on twice now, we know all sorts of good stories from Joseph. We're going to ask Mick if you can remember the first thing you can remember from being on a bicycle.
The first thing on a bicycle, I can't remember not being on a bicycle, but it's being...
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's my GT Pro with my brothers racing BMX bikes. In and around the Mid-Atlantic, growing up outside of Baltimore, out of our house, building dirt jumps. I mean, my formative years, my youth was spent on that GT Pro and that Araya rims and the CW bars. That is really my memories of cycling, for sure. With my brothers, of course, that competitive sibling rivalry still goes today.
But, BMX is great. It really got a lot of people into cycling. And so it's a good youth development program. And we still have four tracks in the state of Connecticut.
Those guys over in Trumbull, I know that Trumbull, there's some guys that I got to know pretty well living in Fairfield County, and they do an awesome job. And I know that it's got a bit of a resurgence. I mean, and I think for guys in our generation, that's what we started on.
Yep.
Thinking back to those years of racing those bikes, and now I see them popping up on eBay and we just kind of all drool over them. It's really, it's pretty fun.
It is fun. I used to bring, from my bicycle shop, I used to bring a van load of kids down to, there was a track out here in Brooklyn, Connecticut, many, many years ago. Now there are houses there. But anyway, sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, I used to pack the kids up for Wednesday nights, it was a practice night. And so
I'd
pack them all up and put them in the van and drive them out there, and they'd go and they'd ride on the track and they'd learn more about how to race. And then one of the parents would volunteer to bring them all on the weekend.
Yep.
And off on Sunday.
It pains me to say this, but my oldest brother was a really good BMX racer and saw some national rankings. And a lot of my late 80s was spent in a GMC conversion van driving around to Pittsburgh and to North Tracks and all these races just so he could race.
Yeah.
But it was a lifestyle, as it continues to be for us today, no doubt about it.
So, Joseph, you're back to see us again. This is your third appearance here on Bicycle Talk. How about
you're
that?
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. And I hear you just came back from a trip.
I did, yeah. I just came back from a big trip down to North Carolina. Did about 220 miles along the Virginia Creeper Trail and
awesome.
Gravel roads, and then tons of single track through Wolf Ridge, Linville Gorge, 21 Jumps, Bent Creek National Forest. Actually, Bent Creek is where the ride ended. Unfortunately, my hub... free hub body let loose and I could no longer pedal.
Oh no.
So yeah, so the trip didn't quite, the goal was Boone and we didn't quite make it to Boone, but we had a really good time, and I think it's very clear everyone wants to go back. We're going to do it again next year, do a big trip like that. So it was great.
How many people did you do that with?
So there were four of us.
Oh nice.
Yeah, one guy flew in from Minneapolis, picked up two guys in D.C. And a couple guys that I've known. They were actually up here for Cross Nationals last year.
Mm-hmm.
Good guys that I know. And they said, yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to – they they had never done a bikepacking trip. So I was responsible for, you know, organizing kind of kits and gear and helping everyone get organized around what they should bring and how much stuff they needed. Inevitably, everyone brought too much stuff.
That happens.
Yeah, that happens. Everybody brought too much. All the guys, and I was like, yo, you guys, I'm telling you, follow my list specifically.
Right.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, after our first day, people were putting stuff like in the mailbox.
That's what I ended up doing when I rode my bike across the country. I mailed back.
That. I don't need this extra jersey. So everyone came away, I think, with a really positive experience, recognized it was a great training benefit. Talking about training and getting miles in.
Sure.
Pushing around a bike that's like 40 pounds uphill. Mm-hmm. For 4 to 5 hours a day.
But it doesn't seem that bad when you're out there having a great time.
It was so worth it.
Mick, have you ever done anything like that?
I have done that. I've actually done that Virginia Creeper Trail. I've done the IMT. And I'm just going to say for all these folks listening in Connecticut, if you have not gotten down into that part of the country and ridden through Virginia and the Shenandoahs, that is some of the best,
yep.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, even for the Creeper Trail, it's mellow. You can roll it. It takes
super
you right
easy.
Into Damascus, the town. The IMT is real single track, ridgeline stuff, which is super fun. My riding is now gone from racing bikes and doing that type of intense, you know, situation where I was trying to get on a podium to. I'm going into the woods with my friends for days. And we're going to be sustained.
That's
and it's
great.
It is great. It is great. And it's, you know, it's like those bikepacking trips or multi-day trips are an absolute blast. And there's no better way to see the country.
Yeah.
There's no better
Absolutely.
Way.
I
agree. You know what I really love is that, you know, I have a bicycle racing background also. I spent 10 years at it and I still promote it because I'm, you know, very enthusiastic about bicycle racing. But once you step away from it and you find these other parts of cycling, which are just so much fun, I can see you glowing when you're talking about this, about how much fun it is.
As soon as Joseph and I were talking about his trip, and I tried to go on it, but unfortunately, I have these children that dominate my life. But
child mafia.
Yeah, I was trying to go on that trip, but I do have a trip booked immediately as soon as we were talking about it, and I started to get a little bit jealous. I was like, I'm going to Mulberry Gap in Georgia. I'm doing the Tennessee Trails in Tennessee at the end of April. And he's like, oh, yeah. So I have my pin on the calendar for sure. So those trips are I mean, for me, they're almost spiritual. They make me better. They make me better employee, a better dad, a better husband, all those things. You know, you got to have them. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're good. Really good. But they are little consumers of time, those children.
For sure. Oh, twin 8-year-old boys, man. It's full tilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
And this, like you alluded to, with all this snow, it's not been my best friend.
All these,
there's been a lot of cancellations. To say
the least. Yeah, it changes your schedule around a lot.
Yeah, it destroys your schedule. It does.
Yeah. So I brought you in because, well, first of all, we finally got to meet. Fran had met you a while ago because I think she went to the coffee shop, actually.
I met Jose Renee.
Yes. And so she's been telling me for months, maybe over a year, maybe 2 years, you really need to meet these guys. They're really fun. You know, it's really, you're going to have a good time.
Well, I'm fun. I can't speak for him.
I know.
He's kind of fun. No, he's fun.
It's a coffee shop and they're majorly into cycling.
Yeah.
Ron, it's like.
So, well, that's why Mick's here.
Right.
And that's why Joseph is here, too, because there's a connection. Not only are you guys friends, but there's also a connection here. And the connection is there's a brand of coffee, which I believe you have developed through the coffee shop called Victus. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I can. So Jay Renee, the shop, is in West Hartford on Park Road. It's been a staple of that town and that community for 5-6 years now. And to give Jay Renee credit, he is a diehard cyclist who was watching the Rwandan cycling movie and Ooh. Fell in love with it and reached out to Jock Boyer and got a response. And the next thing you know, I mean, to give you the abridged version, is Victus was born of that movie and that shop and
wow.
Renee's passion for cycling. I came on board a little bit later because he and I had met doing some other things, and he knew my passion for cycling. And since then, Victus has just really become our philanthropic passion within the shop. And it is a group of cyclists in the shop. We love coffee. We love great coffee. But we also love bike. We love bikes. We love cycling. We love the social aspect of it, the community, everything about it. And we sponsor Team Rwanda. That was really our first foray into, you know, outreach with cycling and philanthropic. And then I came in, and Renee just looked at me and he said, "Hey, you've got to meet this guy, Joseph." I met him. He's so intriguing. I met him at this event, and I was like looking at him like, "Joseph," and he described him to me, and I was like, I know Joseph. I know. I've raced with Joseph. I know who he is. I've seen him. We have mutual friends. It's a small degree of separation.
Mm-hmm.
And Victus then jumped in, and we really want to take care of our backyard in Hartford. And his program with BC Co, if your listeners know about this show, Joseph's been on the show. BC Co is an unbelievable program in downtown Hartford. And we immediately, you know, we're so aligned with our goals and what we want to do with cycling and youth in Hartford that we just kind of locked arms and said, "Hey, let's move the needle here." So Victus brand, anything that goes out the door under the Victus brand from J. Renee, from the shop, online, anything like that, it goes pushed back right to BC Co, Team Rwanda, and also CCAP, the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program.
Mm-hmm.
So we really aim to support them. And that's really, you know, what Victus is at its core. We're a bunch of passionate cyclists and have a love for coffee, and we're going to make this thing run here in Hartford, and we're going to make it run internationally as well.
That's great.
It's cool. Great. We're really excited about
it. That's really exciting. That's great. And of course, everyone knows Joseph, because Joseph is, you know, it's true. It's like if you ride a bike, you know, eventually you'll know
eventually
Joseph.
Bump into me.
You just bump into you.
You're
right.
You're going to meet me here or meet me out west or somewhere.
You're the man of the hour. But you're also strategically located right now at BC Co.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
And you are managing? What is your actual title there?
Yeah, so I'm a program manager for the BC Co program.
Mm-hmm.
The BC Co is a program within the Center for Latino Progress. The Center for Latino Progress is the umbrella nonprofit organization, and mm-hmm. BC Co is one of those programs within the center, and I manage that program. You know, for about, I guess, a little over a year now. I started February 15th of 2017. So it's been a little over
a
year.
Yeah. And what's the connection to youth cycling and BC Co?
Yeah, so BC Co as a cycling hub in Hartford, we're the number one bike shop in Hartford. We're the only bike shop in Hartford. but we own the title of best bike shop in Hartford. And we actually got started up. Our programs really got founded as a youth training program, youth development training program, around teaching youth about bicycle mechanic skills, helping them understand how do you do everything from tires and tubes to hubs and brakes to, headsets and fitting on a bike. We're in the midst of our seventh consecutive Earn a Bike program.
Mm-hmm.
This session we have about 16, 17 kids that are involved.
It's awesome.
Really?
Awesome. It's great to see this program grow and to see the traction that we're getting with youth in Hartford, because we see this as not just, you know, it's not just bike mechanic skills. You're not just learning about, like, you know, how to put a bike together, which we all love and awesome, but it's also really a job training program.
Sure.
It gives kids, a set of skills that are transferable to their workplace, that are transferable skills to our shop. We actually end up employing youth from the Earn a Bike program. Mm-hmm. So kids come through our Earn a Bike program. That's kind of our way of getting them trained up. It's our introduction to the shop, where all the tools are, et cetera. And then, and then we actually hire kids out of that program to be our retail clerks, mechanics, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So they actually help run the shop themselves. And then what we recognized is, there's a huge cohort of kids that not only love to wrench on bikes, but also obviously to ride bikes. Like, that's what we all loved when we were growing up, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so we see it as, we started up a ride race team basically last year. I had been coaching for about 2 years before that, so I've been coaching for about 3 years now with CCAP. And it just seemed like now that we had this shop in Hartford, that it was an incredible opportunity to further engage youth and further bring them in around the opportunities, both around training, nutrition, and bike mechanic skills that they could get out of participating in a ride and race club. And so we actually just had our kickoff we run sort of the ride race team in conjunction with Earn a Bike during the spring, because we think that's a really good way of getting kids kicked off for the season. And we had our kickoff back in February, and we're going to start having our regular practices starting up right in April.
That's great. That's great. So what is the connection here with Victus and BCCo?
So aside from Joseph and I wanting to just spend a lot of time together riding bikes, because if you've ever ridden with him, if you ride with him, you're clearly going to become a better rider.
Well, I don't know. You don't follow my lines.
Yeah, your lines are
not. They're not great.
Not for man.
They're not great.
So we entered into a partnership where, we're supporting the ride race team. We are also entered into a kind of a unique program that we found ourselves, our customers at the shop coming in, and we talk about bikes so much that they, it just became, it's such a centerpiece of what goes on at the shop, which is really cool that they knew we were working with BCCo. Then we just, all of a sudden we had a couple guys come in and said, "Hey, I have old bikes. Can you do something with them?" Or
perfect.
So we brought them in, and we took a couple bikes from our customers, and we looked at Joseph and said, "Hey, what do you think about this?" We hand the bikes then to Joseph. Joseph's team, the kids, go through the whole exercise of refurbishing them. One in particular was this beautiful Tommaso that came in.
It's gorgeous.
And they
red
did
and yellow.
It was an awesome bike aesthetically, and it was from a performance standpoint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they refurbished it. They did all the research on it, found we took it back to the original, and then we placed it in our shop. And then within 2 weeks, we had it for sale in our shop. Some customer came in and bought it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then we just kick it all back to BCCo.
That's perfect.
And the relationship is because Victus is, we are really committed to cycling in Hartford. And I couldn't think of a better partner to do that with than BCCo. We had already established some things with CCAP. I think right now we are trying to find more and more avenues to generate more income for BCCo, and to spread the Victus brand. I mean, we know we have great, the coffee's awesome. I mean, Fran, clearly people go there for a reason, but it's all about supporting these guys and seeing cycling grow and these kids get excited about it. Like we were when we were riding the Kuwaharas and the GTs and things like that.
Yeah. And I think, from a BCCo perspective, when I started talking, I had been talking with Renee for probably 2 years before I ended up at BCCo, and and I had met Mick, a year and a half before I got to BCCo. I mean, it was just sort of like this amazing just sort of confluence of efforts and energies and passions coming together. And BCCo, a great opportunity for us is having corporate partners that really value cycling, but also value the input that we put into the lives of youth and the coaching, mentoring, development that we do with youth. And so, being able to partner up with Victus gives us another avenue for expanding the reach of our program within Hartford. It allows us to reach more youth and to serve more youth in Hartford. And then also gives us a great, you know, partner around, you know, saying, hey, folks, you know, come bring your bike, come check out, you know, the bike that we have for sale. We have a bike for sale now at Victus, one of a custom Rob Stowe from a New York builder. And pretty soon we'll probably have a Merlin up over there in case anybody wants
to know. The Merlin's, wow. Merlin's really nice. Hot.
Oh, yeah. They're
it's,
sweet.
Yeah. Though, we'll see. I might end up trying to poach that before. But no, but so it's a great tool for informing a broader group of customers about what BC Co. is up to, and that, you know, a lot of folks have a shop right in their backyard that's Hartford-based that, you know, hey, if you're – we do full service and sales, and we do, you know, the whole nine yards. And so, you know, as a new shop, we've only been open really for a year. It's, you know, it's important that we have, you know, creative ways of getting our name out there and sharing who we are.
That's great. That's great. I love programs like this because any program that gets kids involved in cycling, I'm huge behind it. Yeah. You know, we mentioned BMX earlier and what that does to get youth on bicycles. CCAP is just outrageously good. What they have done, they've got over 500 kids now that are registered within their program. And a lot of youth cycling. We just had a I'm being connected with someone out here who's doing something at the Wyndham Middle School and trying to put a mountain bike racing team together So and she is actually she's actually formatting it after a team which has been developed down in the town of Ledyard, which is where I grew up, of all places.
Cool.
And they've got a really strong program for the kids. All of them are involved through BC Co., of course, which has, you know, really brought a lot of people into the, really brought a lot of kids into the whole cycling.
The CCAP is, I mean, they are really the tip of the spear with youth cycling. And I, you know, I've gotten to know David Hoyle and those guys that are, you know, they do such a fantastic job, and they're, you know, they've created that organization in a manner where kids are becoming so successful. I mean, even, you know, again, to go back to Victus and to tie it all together, Ben Wolf, we've been sponsoring Ben Wolf for a number of years. I mean, he is, you know, we're hoping, last year he suffered some injuries, but we're hoping this year is his year to break out. And with Jelly Belly Cycling, I know he's feeling stronger than ever. So that program from, you know, these younger kids and getting exposed to every avenue of cycling, from road to cyclocross to, I mean, my kids are going to be on a CCAP mountain bike team starting in a few weeks. That wave of traditional sports is kind of changing, and you see more and more of these mountain bike teams and cycling teams rising up, which is really, you know, personally, it's incredibly exciting.
It really is. And it's changing a lot because there's, you know, especially I know more and more parents that are having a difficult time committing their kids to playing football because of the head injury issue that goes along with that, which is certainly an issue. And not to mention that equipment is expensive.
Yep.
And now cycling is not cheap.
It's not cheap.
We won't hide that. You know, cycling is certainly not cheap, but there's, you know, you have an investment in it, but, you know, I have been just beaten and smoked by people that are riding on far less quality bicycles than I can ride.
It's
about the
rider.
So you don't have to have the top-notch equipment to be able to go fast on a bike.
It's also a lifetime thing. You know, I'll go back to the fact that I started this so long ago, and then every year, you know, in my mid-40s and with my brothers who are a couple years, this is what we do. We don't go on golf trips or things like that. We go on week-long mountain bike trips, and I think there's more and more people of my generation that's what they do, you know, or they go snowboarding, or they go, you know, so these types of, you know, sports are for us now, you know, and I think that our kids are starting to reflect that, which is awesome.
Well, I watch also the folks over at Horst Engineering, which, obviously, you know, they're a pretty committed group.
Yes. Yeah.
They were just on about a month and a half ago on the air with me.
Oh, cool. I'm actually racing with their team this year.
Oh, yes. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yep. So, you know, there's a strong commitment there, too, yeah. And all the kids that
the Horse are Juniors.
The Horse, yep. Juniors. Horse Juniors. There's yeah. a whole bunch of them now, and it's really kind of cool to see. And
yeah.
you can just see the excitement when they start talking about, you know, their kids and riding with their kids. And
we can connect all those dots because that's another, Horst is another Victus-sponsored organization. I feel like, you know, we've got our fingers on all the really top shelf organizations here, and I'm really proud of that. And Joseph, you know, Racing for Horse this year is, you know, those guys are for real.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
those are real real mountain bike and cross racers. There's no doubt about
oh,
it.
Oh, they certainly are.
Extremely well. Just, you know, I've been
and
on
they're cool.
Yeah. 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 Very cool guys. And like I've been on a few teams, you know, from my time down in DC, you know, just kind of in Philadelphia and then moving up this way. And I've just been super, you know, super impressed just by the level of organization and, you know, like they are just really on top of their game just as a team.
Yeah.
As humans. Organized. Yeah. And yeah. as people, you know, maybe it's the fact that they're engineers. I don't know.
If you've ever been to their warehouse at their shop. That'll give you some insight into, you know, running top shelf stuff.
Well,
there's
it's,
no doubt about
you know,
it.
they're very high tech machine shop is basically what they are.
Yeah.
And they, you know, there's a certain amount of, well, you have to stay very focused to be doing that kind of work.
Right,
I guess is what it is.
I think it's balanced nicely because when we went to their team party, I did notice it's like they're so dialed in. They're like that, like you just said. But then, like, the cooler of beer was definitely a treehouse cooler. You know, they really, you know, they've got some A game there, too. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah, that's a good, really, really good group.
Yeah. You know, Art, who works there, obviously, you know, Art Rohde, he went to the University of Connecticut, and that's where I first met him because of being out here. So, yeah, he's
that guy can race bikes, too.
Yeah, he can move a bike.
Yes.
Yeah. No you know what? All you guys can move a bike. I feel like I'm becoming that token old guy that you're going to have to slow down for if you want to go ride with me. But because
I'm looking forward to being that guy.
I don't believe that, Ron.
Yeah, oh, believe you that. Can believe it. Run. Believe me. You can certainly believe it. But, you know, Ron's rule, number 5, you know what that is, right? I'll ride with you. I won't ride against you, and I expect
there
the same
go.
From you.
There you
that's
go.
Fair.
So that's the way it works. Yeah. That's the way it works in
well, that's
my
what,
world.
That's one thing you learn on these like week long bikepacking trips is don't you know start taking your buddy to the woodshed on day 2 when he's having a bad day because day 3 is coming and then you're gonna have a bad day
you
don't want your buddy to you know
take
you out to the woodshed and so you figure out very quickly like you. Work around making sure that the group stays together. You find the pace that works for everybody. And if you're stronger, you ride at the front. If you're not feeling so strong, you tell the guys to back off. And, you know, you switch packs around. We did that. We even switched packs around.
Yeah,
we, like, switched bikes. You know, we, like, did everything that we could to keep everyone together. And you just form a really strong bond. Like, some of the, you know, one of the guys, the guy from Minnesota, had never met any of the other 2 guys.
Right.
And, you know, everybody just kind of left out of that trip just like...
When we doing this again?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brothers, when we doing this?
Yeah. Yeah, I've done a couple of those. There's one that I've done, the Pittsburgh to D.C. on the CNO on the Allegheny, which was super fun. The one time I did it, my brother and I did it together... in 4 days, we had to get to a wedding in Pittsburgh, so we had like a deadline.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It was
that
it was
could
the,
go very
it
bad.
Could,
yeah.
It could have gone bad. It's funny because everybody dropped out, but he just ended up being just me and him, which it always seems to end up that way. But it was 4 days, like 100 plus a day, and one day full of rain and just suffer. Oof. But you just kind of like, you set a pace that's going to bring everybody in, you know, you just rally together, you yo-yo it, you take care of your buddies and then you just suffer through it and you finish and you want to, you know, curl up in a ball and die. But then the next thing you say is we got to do that again.
Yeah. It's sort of like the Marines. You never leave your buddy behind.
You can't.
Right. You can't do it. It's just, it's not allowed. So, yeah. I tell people about that. I tell people about the camaraderie in cycling and I think it really stemmed more from when I was racing my bike. I think when I get back down to the local level, there tends to be some egos involved, which are a little bit more challenging. But Fran is probably going to nod in on this one.
Right.
But anyway, but you know, it's just like all the people that I ever raced my bike with, or people that have raced, they're just the easiest people to ride with. They're just,
that's great.
Everybody takes care of everyone. Yeah. You know, you know the drill.
The last few races I've done, I mean, it was in Colorado and then the SM100, which Joseph knows pretty well. I remember, because they're both were so long, you know, and it has something to say for those endurance races, unless you're, you know, Jeremiah Bishop or Gordon Wadsworth and you're just pinning it for
like
6 hours.
Hours.
Yeah, that's not my bandwidth anymore. but you yo-yo with these guys all day and you get to know them really well. And they're on your pace line and then you stop and you talk to each other and you eat and you hang out. And there's, I remember telling this one guy at like mile 80 at the SM100, he had never done it before. And I was like, dude, you better leave something in the, you leave some gas in the tank because this is not over yet. And then we finished and he came over and he found me and he gave me a hug and he thanked me. And I was like, what, who are you? One. And he's like, dude, thank you so much for telling me to keep it in the tank because I would have died. I would have been, I'd be still out there right now, you know? And it's like those kind of races and that camaraderie is what, that's really where cycling is going for me now. You know, it's like, it's about my kids racing bikes. It's about seeing these good things happen with BCCO and CCAP. But also when I get my time, it's a week long full tap out and just going and wandering into the middle of nowhere and really, you know, having a moment, which is fun.
We're going to have a bicycle talk ride. Guests that have been on the show. And what do you think, Fran? You like that idea?
I'm in.
Yeah, you're in. And we can base it out of our house. We'll have a little barbecue afterwards or whatever. But I can show you guys some roads. I mean, we have some incredible roads out here.
Yeah.
And you know, and just make it one of those really nice, friendly rides that we just go out and have a good time.
Yep.
That's it. I would love that.
I could bring the coffee.
I would
bring the coffee.
You will be bring the coffee.
You'll get us started with that.
You'll be required to bring the coffee. That would be a wonderful thing for you to do. And you're in.
Yeah.
You're in.
Well, like you saw at NABS at the bike show, we built that coffee trailer. And so, you know, another thing we're doing with any events with Joseph or CCAP, we're really thinking, we really want to get ourselves, you know, get the coffee trailer in a place where, you know, we have more of a presence in Victus. You know, people really associate Victus with cycling and that whole community. So, yeah, well, I'm bringing the coffee to them. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
We've got our Bike Life event coming up in April.
Mm-hmm.
The Hartford Spring Break week. We do five, I think, starting on the 9th, April 9th through the 14th.
Okay.
We have a Hartford week-long bicycle festival, culminating with the Bike Life Festival on Saturday, April 14th, right across the street from BCCO in Hudson Street Park at the corner of Park and Main.
Yeah.
And we, you know, so that's like another opportunity where Victus will be out, you know, sort of just having their presence there. We'll probably be giving away close to 100 bikes to kids that have gone through bicycle safety training programs for 2 hours at some point in time throughout the week.
Is that the requirement for to get the bike? Is
correct.
That
they
have to go through the safety program? What
yeah,
a great idea.
Yeah, you have to go through the bicycle safety program for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they learn, you know, an ABC quick check. They learn about the programs at BCCO. They learn about, you know, where they need to be positioned within the road, in relationship to cars, different traffic laws, kind of all
awesome.
Those things. Like,
can I send some adults out to this?
Yes.
So they could learn
absolutely. Like, this is a thing that, you know, it's real. This is critical information. Like, this is, we think that this is information that really, like, saves lives for kids.
Absolutely.
And we host this event last year. This will actually be our third year running it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year we've got, you know, we're going to be adding another location for our bicycle safety classes during the week. We'll have, you know, the same kind of vibe. We're going to have music. We're going to have some competitions around, you know, wheelie contests, track stand contests. If we can really get it together, I'm looking to have a bicycle football tournament.
It's cool.
What is bicycle football?
It's the best thing. It's great. It's a great way to spend time on two wheels, and it's
on a bicycle.
Yes, it's on a bicycle.
I'm aware of bicycle polo.
Imagine if you took polo, soccer, frisbee, mm-hmm. ultimate frisbee, and you sort of merged them all together.
Joseph made this up while he was riding.
CCAP
last week,
made
in the
this
middle
up.
Of the
like
woods.
I learned this at CCAP coaches camps, and so we actually play this a lot because we have this open field right across the street from us, and it's an incredible skills drill. You know, you have two teams that are trying to get essentially a soccer or a football type of item across an end zone.
Okay.
And you can ride up to this ball, and you can pick it up, and you can carry it essentially two pedal strokes forward.
Okay.
And then you have to drop it.
All right.
So, and if another team can come in and swipe and pick it up, so as you get the skills of the kids develop, that you end up seeing track stands. You've got, you know, side swipes, but you have to keep your hands on the bar so there's no pushing. But you can, you know,
I'm still sensing carnage here.
You would be amazed.
Joseph is an advocate of carnage. There's
no
doubt about it.
Amazed at the level of skill that the kids develop so quickly.
I
just having
that.
To reach down to pick this,
I like this.
Ball yeah. up off the ground develops a level of like balance that most people never reach on a bike.
Sure.
And that translates incredibly well over to, you know, racing and riding and just even being in traffic.
Well, you know, that's why I love cross, because
cross
is just it's the great teacher of all skills out there.
Yep.
Once you learn how to do it on a cross bike, you can pretty much go anywhere.
Right. Correct. Yeah.
So,
well, that's like, you know, Joseph's still riding a single speed mountain bike. I swear that I learned how to ride a mountain bike by having a single speed rigid steel bike for years, and then once I realized that it was a foolish thing to own and got a full suspension carbon bike, I could really handle it, and I solely attributed to it. But those kids doing things like that and cross bikes like that, they change your skill game. There's no doubt about it.
It's
cool to watch.
Yeah, it is. It is totally cool to watch. This is great. You guys are into this. I love it. Yeah.
Those kids are. He's creating stewards, which I think is the fascinating part about BC Co and why I was so drawn to it. It's like they're not just they're learning the bicycle skills, they're learning the maintenance, but they're really learning a stewardship of cycling that's going to carry us, you know, into a couple other generations, which I aspire for I want my kids to have when they stop screaming at me.
How old are your kids?
They both are 8. Yes.
Oh, so you're twins.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
yes.
you have a long road ahead of you still. I don't want to scare you.
It's a bumpy road already.
it's going to get a lot bumpier.
Yeah. No, they're good. I think it's I listen for the sound because sometimes they just wander away and play and it's wonderful but then there's always a volume decibel change that I listen for when I'm like, I have to go break this up.
Time to get in between.
Is it two boys, two girls?
Two boys.
Are they fraternal or identical?
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, but they don't look the same. Is that terrible to say as a parent? They don't. They look similar. They don't. If you spend an hour with them, you would say no, they don't look the same. They're a very different person. But I never actually had the DNA test where I would know if they're identical or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to ignore them. No, they're actually great kids. They really are. They're great.
What are their names?
Hudson and Hendrix.
Hudson and Hendrix.
Yes.
So did you grow up in North Jersey or
no.
In New York City? Or
no, I'm a Baltimore guy outside of
That's
Baltimore.
That's what you said. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The names are, you know, family names. We thought we wanted an alliteration with the H. We knew we were going to have a Hudson. The other one was hiding. We didn't know what his gender was. Then we found out it was going to be a boy. We were driving down the road. My wife was listening. It came across like the satellite radio. It said Hendrix.
I just feel like they should have been born in Weehawken.
Yeah. They should have been born to they're actually wonderful. And it's funny because they're such good cyclists just because they're damaged and they grew up around it so much with their brothers, their uncle and their grandfather and me. But now, because I just moved to Simsbury in November, I didn't know Ski Sundown was so close.
Oh yeah, it's right there.
They are snowboarding animals.
Like, nice.
I know, it's crazy, which has forced me to become a snowboarder again. But yeah, they are like ripping on a snowboard right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's go good for them.
It. Yeah, man, let it go. Yeah. Go all day.
That's
Don't
great.
Come back.
And they're entering that tween age. They're just on the precipice
I hear these words.
Yeah. Well, it'll get interesting and challenging.
Yes.
Because and it should, because that's a sign of development. So
right.
That's a good thing. But there's going to be a point and that you're going to think back and you're going to go, was I really that bad when I was that age?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the answer is probably yes.
Worse.
And maybe worse.
Should we get my parents to dial in right now?
Because you could do that. Yeah. You could do that. We could have quite a long discussion.
My dad might
about
actually
this.
Strangle me through the phone.
That's true. It could happen. But it will come back and haunt you. And then you have to, well, you learn a different level of parenting when you get to that point.
Right.
Because you have to
all the more reason to
know how to not get pricked by the porcupine.
Right.
You know?
All the more reason to have them racing bikes all the time.
And that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And it's the beauty of all athletics. You know,
yep.
You get the kids involved in the athletics. They've got some place to blow off that steam.
Yep.
And then they're good. And what better place than on the bike to teach them that individuality that they're looking for?
Yep. Yes.
Because the bicycle is really...
It's freedom.
It's the freedom machine.
That's exactly what we bring to our kids every single time at BCCO with our BCCO programs, because for me, bikes are fun, freedom, and adventure. Like,
yes.
That's just like, those are the natural things that they come together.
Sure.
And so I just think it's incredible when kids get on a bike and really develop that sense of self, but also sense of like community with other bikers as well.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think it's any different from what we're doing as adults on this, you know, on our trips and things like that. I think it's teaching those same things, and these kids are, you know, learning to fly basically and meet people that want to do it too, and you know, having a blast while they're at it, which is, you know, I think which is what bikes bring you at any age.
Yeah,
at
sure,
all, for sure,
sure. This is great. You know what? We're going to run out of time because
can I get one more plug, Ron?
Oh, absolutely. Go away.
Last plug is just if folks are up for it, if you have a bike sitting in your basement that's in good workable condition, we've built 32 out of 100 bikes,
mm-hmm.
and we've got about 3 weeks to get to 100. So if folks have a bike that they have been wanting to give a good home, that they've recognized, hey, you know what, there's an opportunity here for me to make a difference with this bike, please bring it down to BCCO. We're located at 95 Park Street. You can look our information up online, bcco.org. You can find us there. You know, we'll arrange to get the bike dropped off and have you drop the bike off to us at BCCO. And we're really looking to push that so that we can get to our 100 number and, you know, get 100 bikes out to kids for bike life.
Right. And that's BICICO.
Correct.
And are you .com or .org?
.org.
Yeah. .org. Okay.
Yeah.
In the West Hartford area. I mean, you could bring those bikes for Joseph and BCCO to us at J. Renee.
Okay.
We're happy to help facilitate that and get those down to them.
And you get a cup of coffee, too.
That's right.
A very good
cup of coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah, a very, very good cup of coffee. Yes, that's very important. You guys, this is awesome. Yeah, we're going to do this again. Of course we're going to do it again. It's great.
Great. Thank you.
You have probably a lot more we could talk about here that we have not covered. But, hey, we're talking bikes. We're talking coffee. We're talking youth development. We're talking about all sorts of great things here. I've got two great guests here today with me. That's Mick Ferraro from...
It's J. Renee. Yeah, J. Renee. Yeah. He's the parent shop. Victus is a brand of J. Renee. So
right.
We can say J. Renee.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We can say
J. Renee. Give him props about
that. And then, of course, Joseph Dickerson is back for his third time to talk to us a little bit more about BCCO and what's going on there in Hartford. This has been really cool to have you here today. I have to go over a couple little things on my list here before we wrap this thing up. I've got an upcoming event. The UConn cycling team is having a race. It is the weekend of March 24th. It's right around the corner. I hope the snow melts before we get there, because yes, folks, it is a road race too. And you can check with the UConn cycling team. You can check with them online if you want to learn a little bit more about that. There's also in on April 26th through the 27th in Boston, there is a New England Bike Walk Summit. And you can find out more information from that on, you can go to numeral10times.com at NEBWS, and you can check out what's going on there. Also, earlier in April, bikewalkct.org is having their summit April 6th through the, actually April 6th on 2018, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that will be at the Lyceum in Hartford, Connecticut. National Bike to Work Week is coming up in May. National Bike Month is in May. National Bike Work Week is May 14th through the 18th. Ride Your Bike to Work Day on a national basis is on May 18th. I hope you'll all participate in that, and we'll be staying on top of that too. My name is Pedalin' Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. You can reach me by writing to bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org or on iTunes. If you'd like to contribute to or be on the show as a guest, please contact me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs.